Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article that we've been looking at from AARP, the magazine, at the Epicenter, a Rock and Roll Memoir, and Jan Winner, the founder and longtime editor of Rolling Stone magazine, has been sharing his intimate recollections of various people. And the last one in the line here is Bruce Springsteen. Down in Jersey one late afternoon, we were having drinks around the outdoor fire with Patty and Bruce, who was throwing me some shade about not having gone on his European tour that summer. Why didn't Matt and I come and see him in Brazil for a few weeks? When we got to the hotel in São Paulo, Bruce's manager, John Landau, was waiting for us. The show that night was an hour across São Paulo at a campus gymnasium. Bruce was a giant international star, but not in Latin America. The next day, we went into Rio and checked into the Copacabana Hotel. It was a day off, so Bruce took us to a prettier, less crowded beach. We bought a lot of drinks and freshly opened coconuts and emptied a few bottles of tanning oil. Bruce was in great shape. He said one night on stage a few months earlier, he looked up at his screen projection and saw the fat Elvis. Now he was buff, wearing tight T-shirts. We had been followed by some paparazzi who shot Bruce and me walking on the beach. By the time we picked up our towels and went for lunch, there was a message from the office. They emailed pictures of us on the beach, which had just been sent from a photo agency. Obviously, I hadn't had any warning to suck up the gut. I showed Bruce, who said, "You can't go anywhere these days. The minute you go anywhere, you are everywhere." Now from the same magazine, AARP, let's look at some real people. Inspiring stories of friends and neighbors in their own words. We're going to start with Best Buds, Two for the Road. These college roommates turned a chore into an Alaska road trip to remember. Christian Gandolfo. When you called and asked if I could help you move your car 850 miles from Juneau to Anchorage, it was a no-brainer for me to say yes. We hadn't seen each other in 5 years, and it was a chance to truly reconnect. Sue X. Marshall. It was the most time we had spent together since college. I had done the trip before, and I knew I needed something different. Gandolfo. We'd both been through heavy stuff the past couple of years, each losing a parent. You sending your firstborn off to college. Me entering single life for the first time in years. All the weight of the pandemic. Marshall. Yeah, it was time to laugh. Gandolfo. Like when we set off on the longest leg of the trip and I said, "Why are the interior lights on?" Marshall. I thought they'd turn off automatically once we got going. Gandolfo. And I'm thinking, is there a door ajar? As I turned to see the hatchback wide open. Marshall, I wondered why the rear window looked so clean. Your luggage had fallen out, but we circled back and found it. Gandolfo, we had a great laugh and never really stopped laughing for 8 days. It reminded me that there will always be potholes in the road. We saw plenty of those, but good friends can soften the blows. Marshall, we made a vacation of it, hiking to a glacier in the rain, drinking martinis at an ice bar, soaking in natural hot springs. Taking that kind of time for myself with you is helping me show up for others now. Gandolfo, the trip gave us a chance to be 20 years old again, but at the same time to be our current selves with everything we know now. There's beauty in coming back together with an old friend at a different stage of life. Old friends and new memories. It's my new favorite thing. And this was as told to Robin Weston. Christina Gandolfo, 54, and Sue X. Marshall, 55, met as freshmen at San Diego State University. Gandolfo is a photographer based in Los Angeles. Marshall, the COO of a government constituency, lives in Alaska. Now, from another issue of AARP, the magazine, let's look at AARP Travel 2023, Hot Fun in the Wintertime. Sometimes the best winter getaway isn't taken to escape the cold weather, but to embrace it. These outdoor pursuits will create lasting memories, and none require a pair of skis. Winter may be hibernation season for some species, but for humans who enjoy nature and travel, it can be a season for adventure and fun. You say we're avoiding the moose in the room, that it will be cold, right? Relax. If you haven't been to an outdoor store in a while, you might not realize how far we've come in winter gear that is toasty, comfy, and surprisingly lacking in bulk. Another benefit is that winter travel is rarely crowded or rushed. And here's the best part. You don't have to know how to hurtle down a mountain to enjoy the great northern outdoors. So let's look at sleigh rides in Idaho and Colorado. Towering at 16 or 17 hands tall, that's about 5.5 feet, Percheron, Clydesdale, and Belgian draft horses harnessed to an open sleigh enchant riders who pat their velvet soft muzzles. The sleighs are crafted of wood with padded seats and warm wool blankets. But the best part of winter sleigh rides comes when the horse's beauty and power work in sync with the sleigh, and you find yourself moseying along a snow-covered valley at 3 or 4 miles an hour. It's pure enchantment, says Calvin Chatfield, 67, stable manager at Idaho's Sun Valley Resort. In the evening, on a nice clear night, you look up and there are more stars than you can imagine. At Colorado's Keystone Stables, sleigh rides run alongside Soda Creek to reach a restored homestead that's on the National Register of Historic Places. Hot cider is served on the scenic rides, and three-course dinners are hosted inside the cozy cabins. Wrangler Sandy Ryan, 64, has been driving sleighs for a decade. These gentle giants, she says, take us away from the pace of our busy lives. While you're there, venture to Sun Valley, a favorite destination of Ernest Hemingway's. Bibliophiles will love tracing his legacy of preferring watering holes, seeing his memorial, and browsing the Hemingway collection at the community library. Where else? In addition to the Mountain West, you can enjoy sleigh rides in New England, the Pacific Northwest, and upstate New York. How much? Rates typically start at about $60 per person. Winter Wonder? Jingle bells are often used for mood, but when sleighs were regular transportation, the bells served as a pedestrian alert system. Now, soaking in Colorado. Once considered the purview of hippies, hot springs today have reimagined themselves, as components of the wellness and self-care industry. The water soothes muscles and ligaments, eases aches and pains, and helps manage stress. At Colorado's newly renovated Durango Hot Springs, visitors can choose from 26 soaking pools, 8 private Japanese-inspired cedar soaking tubs, a hot spring-warmed swimming pool, a mineral water rain tower, and a cold plunge pool. When there's snow on the ground, the pools are really steamy, especially in the evening, says Glenwood, Colorado resident Vicky Nash, 58. It's mystical, and when it's snowing, it's absolutely beautiful. While you're there, Durango has a strong artisanal culture that includes at least 6 craft breweries, a specialty ice cream shop, and about 30 galleries and museums. Where else? Hot springs exist across nearly all of the U.S. For a list, visit hotspringsofamerica.com. How much? Day rates typically start at around $20 per person. Winter Wonder. Humans aren't the only ones to enjoy hot springs. Macaques or snow monkeys start their winter days soaking in the hot springs in the mountains of Japan. Now, what to pack to stay warm? Layer up. Begin with a base layer, long underwear made from synthetic fabrics or wool. For the second layer, choose fleece, down, or wool for insulation. Then choose a windproof, water-resistant layer, known as a shell. Head, hands, feet. Insulated gloves and boots, a warm hat, a neck gaiter, and wool socks are also essential. Look for insulated boots with thick, waterproof soles. Rent, don't buy. Why purchase a bunch of winter gear that you might use only once? Today's shoppers can choose from rental companies like Arrive Outdoors or Kitlender. Now, moving on to an article in AARP, The Bulletin. This is Your Money, The Cops on the Beat. These are the right ones to turn to if you have been wronged. If your home's been burglarized, you know exactly whom to call, your local police. But whom do you call if you think a broker, insurer, bank, or scam artist has taken advantage of you? Here are some common complaints and concerns and where to take them. Is my investment advisor legit? The COPS, Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. How I can help. At advisorinfo.sec.gov, you can look up investment advisors or brokers and learn about their business and past disciplinary issues. Visit investor.gov under Get Help. There you can learn how to file an investment-related complaint about a company or a financial professional. Its larger mission. The SEC makes sure that the public markets for stocks, bonds, and other investments are operated fairly and efficiently. That includes, for example, going after suspected Ponzi schemes and making sure that the companies don't give false information to their stockholders. Note, you should also check with your state securities regulator. You may be eligible for money recovered from criminals, but that might be far less than your losses. I told my broker I wanted low-risk investments, but he ignored me. The COP, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA. How it can help. If you have a dispute with a broker, you can go to FINRA to file a complaint or request arbitration or mediation. At brokercheck.finra.org, you can also check a broker's or firm's experience and past problems. FINRA's toll-free securities helpline for seniors is 844-574-3577. It is available to answer questions and address concerns. Its larger mission. FINRA oversees U.S. brokers and brokerage firms. It sets rules for sales practices, disciplines, misbehaviors, and provides a forum for investor complaints. Note, even if your broker has violated industry rules, FINRA can't guarantee you'll get back any money that you may have lost. A lot of my friends from church are working with the same financial advisor. They're getting high returns. Should I invest with him? The COPS, State Securities Regulators. How they can help? You can call or reach out online to your regulator if you need assistance vetting potential advisors, brokers, or financial products, or if you need help after you've invested. Your regulator can investigate possible wrongdoing and determine whether there are actionable violations. To find the regulator in your area, in your state, visit nasaa.org/contact-your-regulator. Their larger mission is enforcing state securities laws and overseeing smaller brokers and investment advisors. A debt collector told me I would go to jail if I didn't pay him today. The COP, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB. how it can help? If you have a problem with a debt collector, bank, or another company providing a consumer financial product or service, you can submit a complaint to the CFPB online at consumerfinance.gov/complaint or by phone at 855-411-2372. And it will work to get a response to your issue. Most businesses it contacts respond within 15 days. Its larger mission? The CFPB is a federal agency that polices lenders, banks, credit bureaus, debt collectors, and other financial organizations to make sure they treat you fairly and adhere to consumer protection laws. My home insurer paid only part of my claim when my house burned down. The COPS, State Insurance Regulators. How they can help? Your state's insurance regulator is where you go if you feel an insurance claim was underpaid or wrongly denied. They can provide an independent review of your case and, if necessary, help facilitate corrective action. Find your state's regulator at content.naic.org/state-insurance-departments. Their larger mission? These offices are intended to create a fair and competitive marketplace for insurance in their state, including home, auto, health, and life. They also regulate insurance products such as fixed and variable annuities. I got a telephone solicitation from an animal rescue charity, but I think it's a scam. The COPS, Federal Trade Commission, FTC. How it can help? If you file a complaint at reportfraud.ftc.gov about a fraud, scam, or shady business practice, the FTC will provide you with information on what steps to take next. The agency will also add your complaints to its database, which is accessible to nearly 3,000 law enforcement entities. Signing up for its national Do Not Call registry at donotcall.gov helps you avoid telemarketers, though it won't weed out all solicitations from scammers. Its larger mission? To protect you from unfair, deceptive, and anti-competitive business practices. Note, the FTC won't open a case on your behalf. Instead, it uses complaint information for its own investigations. In cases where it gets a settlement, it may use its complaint database to find people eligible for refunds. And finally, an auto dealer sold me a lemon and refuses to take it back. The COPS, State Attorney General. How they can help? If you think you've been burned in a retail transaction, you can file a complaint with your state AG's office, which may offer services to help resolve the issue, such as informal mediation between you and the business. Their involvement will vary case by case and state by state. AGs also disseminate information on savvy shopping and the red flags of companies behaving badly. Find out how to contact your state's attorney general at consumerresources.org. Their larger mission? As the chief legal officer in your state or territory, your attorney general upholds consumer protection laws and protects the public's interest. Note, state AGs represent the public interest, not individuals, and don't provide private legal counsel. Now, from the Complete Guide to Memory, Centennial Health, we've been looking at the end of Alzheimer's. New approaches to prevention could halt and reverse the devastating brain-wasting disease. Preventive measures. There is only hope on the horizon. Two potentially groundbreaking studies were launched in the last decade to test whether drugs that shrink amyloid plaques can stop the onset of the disease before symptoms appear in people genetically predestined to develop Alzheimer's. The evidence that the disease may originate 10 to 15 years or even longer before clinical symptoms appear suggests we're intervening too late, says psychiatrist and cell biologist Ralph Nixon of New York University. That led to a search for individuals who are guaranteed by their genetics to develop Alzheimer's and identifying them at an age before they have symptoms. Then we could treat the disease before it's like a locomotive that just can't be stopped. One study, known as DIAN, Dominantly Inherited Alzheimer's Network, involves 260 subjects in the U.S., Britain, Germany, and Australia. The other study encompasses 300 members of an extended family of about 5,000 who live in Colombia and in the mountain villages that surround the city. What they share in common is that each participant has a piece of rogue DNA that invariably causes early onset Alzheimer's. On average, most develop symptoms before the age of 45 and full-blown dementia by age 51, and many of their family members have already been stricken or died. Because the subjects in these closely watched studies are at such a high risk, we should know within the next few years if any of these experimental drugs will halt or delay the onset of the disease. In the Colombian research effort, scientists are testing a drug called crenezumab, which is humanized monoclonal antibody. Like a homing device, the injected drug attaches itself to the amyloid beta proteins and stimulates plaque removal. In the DIAN study, participants have received one of three experimental drugs that are all aimed at destroying amyloid plaques. These drugs include one that blocks the beta secretase enzyme responsible for producing amyloid. It's an antibody that binds to clumps of amyloid beta and helps remove them from the brain. And then there's another antibody that binds to free-floating fragments of amyloid protein, allowing them to be cleared before they clump together to form plaques. The hope here is that if these therapies can somehow halt or slow the development of such telltale symptoms as loss of memory, confusion, or plaque formation, then it is possible to slow the progression of the disease by starting treatment before it has done too much damage. Three other preventative trials are giving drugs to older people who haven't yet lost their mental acuity but are at greater risk of developing Alzheimer's because they have higher levels of amyloid proteins in their brain, as measured by a PET scan of the brain, or they possess the gene APOE4, which increases the odds that they will develop the disease. One of these trials, called A4, Anti-Amyloid Treatment in Asymptomatic Alzheimer's, encompasses 1,150 people and is testing a drug for prevention. It is monitoring changes over a three-year period in cognitive function, brain tissue health, ability to navigate daily life, and other indicators of Alzheimer's. In another approach, represented by the Generation Trial, researchers are studying volunteers who inherited two copies of APOE4, which increases their odds of developing Alzheimer's by about 15-fold compared with people in the general population. The hope is that a beta inhibitor, a treatment in Alzheimer's, that aims to prevent the buildup of amyloid can help stop Alzheimer's disease in its tracks. Creating cocktails for dementia. Researchers are also borrowing a page from the combination therapies that have been successfully used to combat HIV, a cancer, and heart disease. In addition to plaques and tangles, chronic inflammation is now thought to be one of the underlying problems in Alzheimer's. The brain insults caused by plaques and by the presence of injured neurons seem to unleash the foot soldiers in the body's immune system to fight off the perceived foreign invaders and to return the brain to a normal state. Other research has identified abnormal proteins in the brains of people with the disease. And the Alzheimer's Association has teamed up with the Alzheimer's Drug Discovery Foundation to create a joint effort known as the Alzheimer's Combination Therapy Opportunities Initiative, devoted to targeting some of the underlying processes currently thought to play a role in the disease. It's likely that a combination of strategies will be needed to halt the disease's progression, using a cocktail of medications aimed at different targets in much the same way as AIDS and many cancers are now treated. We've been operating under the assumption that a single drug would do the trick in terms of reversing the deficits, said neurobiologist Frank LaFerla, director of the University of California, Irvine Institute for Memory Impairments and Neurological Disorders. But it's like trying to put out a raging fire with a bucket of water. Once a fire reaches that point, you need to bring out the fire trucks and the helicopters. And our final note in this magazine, big ideas for fighting Alzheimer's. Prevent and reduce inflammation. It's not just about limiting your exposure to infectious diseases agents that activate the immune system. It's also about avoiding the artificial fats and starchy and sugary foods that are the staple of modern diets, like options high in gluten, wheat, bulgur, cereals, french fries, processed cheese, that can cause an inflammatory response. Avoid processed foods in favor of whole foods. Good oral hygiene, brushing and flossing daily to prevent gum inflammation is also a must. Optimize brain boosters. Get your full complement of nutrients, such as vitamins D, B1, B6, B12, and folate, and make sure you have normal levels of hormones. Boost levels of brain-derived BDNF through regular exercise for 30 minutes at least 4 to 5 times a week. And finally, eliminate toxins. Amyloids can be activated when the brain is exposed to toxic metals like copper and mercury or biotoxins such as mold. Aside from identifying and removing these environmental toxins, people can eat detoxifying foods such as cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, kale. Hydrate with water to flush out toxins and increase levels of glutathione through supplements. Now, in our remaining couple of minutes, let's look at some more money-saving tips. We were looking at entertainment tips. Monitor discount ticket apps and websites. Several digital businesses offer theater, concert, comedy club, and other cultural event tickets at big discounts and are worth monitoring. They include TodayTix, Gold Star, and Groupon. The latter also has discounts for activities like bowling and escape rooms, as well as restaurant deals. Make it yourself. Here are some household items typically bought at the store that you can make yourself for a fraction of the price. Window cleaner. Put 2 cups of water, 1/2 cup of distilled vinegar, and 10 drops of any essential oil, lemon smells nice, in a spray bottle and shake before using. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.